At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, February 3rd, 2022. It is the Beating the Book podcast, the 11th annual. 11th! Can you believe that? Been podcasting for 11 years. 11th annual Vegas Lifestyle Podcast, A Man's Guide to Sin City. It's Gil Alexander. This is the one we've all been waiting for. Conference week in between Super Bowl week, sort of a dead week, and this is where we've always put this podcast, our one sort of non-sports betting podcast of the year, though we do touch on sports books and all things Vegas. You're planning a trip with your buddies to Vegas, not only the best sports books in town, restaurants. We've gotten a little older, so not so much nightclubs and day clubs and strip clubs anymore. Ace was asked to be on the show, but he had a thing. He had some UFC stuff. But as always, with me on the show for this one, not only Mike Palm. Hello, Michael.
Good morning.
Operations manager, VP of operations. VP of operations, not an operations manager, my God. VP of operations, Circus Sports, Derek Stevens, Consigliere. Co-host of Odds On VSiN. Todd Wishnet from his mom's Cork Attic.
He's also a big shot at the gaming control, AMA, something like that.
Oh, that's correct.
That.
Board of directors.
I'm a doctor. Yes, I'm on the American Medical Association. Thank you.
I was also on the board.
Mikey, I was upset that you weren't getting your full due.
Yeah. American Gaming Association. Todd, if you could just shut up while we just start a podcast, that'd be great. Thank you. American Gaming Association, board of directors. Mark Meltzer is here as well. Meltzer like Seltzer, man about town. How you doing, Meltzer?
I am wonderful. I, too, was on an AMA board, and it was for the American Marketing Association. That was a long time ago, back when I did marketing.
Todd Wishnev interrupting the podcast from his mom's Cork Attic in Pittsburgh, PA. And Brian Ortega is here as well.
I'm also on the renowned Jew Association. Don't forget
that. Yes, you are. Brian has been responsible, along with Jason Kahn, for this podcast being available to everybody from the D all year long. But Brian, as it turns out, you have an extensive concierge background in Vegas.
That's right. Yeah, 4 years as a concierge at MGM Grand. And before that, I was a tour guide for 4 years. So I think I'm on
it. So he got stories. You got stories and stuff.
I have many, many stories.
All right. We look forward to some. Let's begin with sports books. Mikey, did you want to begin with something?
I would like to just note, for historical purposes, that now on VSiN, when Todd appears as a guest, the bottom third is no longer star of Showtime's action. It's now co-host of the Megapod.
That's right.
Oh, good. There you go.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov. Yay.
Moving up or down in the world. I don't know what that one is.
It's a lateral move.
Clearly moving up. Let's begin with, by the way, did I win the regular season? I guess we'll update this next week when we have Rufus on for the Super Bowl.
We're not discussing that until next week. Yeah, next week.
You want to discuss that next week? Okay.
We can talk about it now because I did go 2-0 again in playoffs, but it's okay.
That's all right. We'll just update it next week, and okay. I'll crown. Even though Mikey tried that nonsense, liking.
First of all, I like to bag on Mikey as much as the next guy, but I don't think he did anything wrong. He told you who he liked, and then he went with his game theory. I thought that was very wise.
Did you? Okay. All right. So let's start with sports books. That's the first thing we should go with. Well, first of all, no, we always start with Meltzer in terms of Super Bowl parties and March Madness parties. Let's do that. because that's how we always begin. Meltzer, what do we got? Anything?
It's pretty simple this year. If you want to party, it's going to cost about $100 and up per person, no matter where you go. So it's even on the low end, you're looking at either close to 100 or 100. On the high end, you're looking in the thousands, depending on what you want and how many people are going to be with you. I know you could watch it outside at beautiful Stadium Swim. Mike could probably speak to that. And, you know, that's going to cost you, but it's an amazing setting. And that's the kind of only in Vegas experience that you want to get. So, you know, and March Madness is lining up for even more of the same, where it'll be pool season. Okay. Better? Evidently, I was not speaking directly into my mic. As I was saying, it looks like there's other properties that are going to be replicating the Stadium Swim model with the outdoor thing with giant TVs so you can watch events. And, you know, that is pool season. That'll be for March Madness. But the Super Bowl is mostly indoors, a couple outdoor parties. But, again, everything's going to cost you about $100. It's going to cost you to reserve a seat in most sports books on the Vegas Strip, even some downtown that are desirable, such as Circa, Westgate. You might have to pay for if you want to reserve a seat there. And it's just the economics and the lack of desire to sit at a sports book and wait. People do not want to sit and wait for, you know, a game to reserve a seat at, you know, let's say, I don't know, noon for a game that kicks off at 5 o'clock. So there is demand for it. Not everybody likes it, obviously. If you don't want to pay, head off the strip, head to South Point, Gold Coast. They're going to have open seating, general admission free. Of course, first come, first serve. Their parties are going to be spend whatever you want for whatever you want. So, and they're free. But again, you're paying nothing and you have to pay for drinks and food and such, which is fine. You know, it's a matter of what you prefer. You know, do you want the guaranteed seat and show up when you're ready? And are you willing to pay for that? Or do you want to save the money, get there early, get to a sportsbook early, and get one of those free seats, and then just pay for everything as you go? So that's the Super Bowl situation. It'll be similar for March Madness, the first weekend. And I think there's going to be even more options to watch the Madness outdoors, which is kind of exciting, kind of fun, because that's spring break weekend, that St. Patrick's Day weekend. It's a great time to be outside in Vegas.
Mikey, what's a cabana run you for March Madness?
The minimum is 5,000, Gil. Super Bowl. The first 2 days of March Madness, I believe they're 4,000. And then the prices dip a little bit on Saturday and then significantly on Sunday. As far as our Super Bowl offerings here, Stadium Swim general admission is $150 to get in. That's not a seat, but it does include a buffet. Day beds start at $3,000. Cabanas start at $5,000. If you want a seat in the sports book, one of the bleacher seats, that's $300, and it gets you six drink tickets. The booths range anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000, depending on where the booth are and whether it's seat 6 or 8 within the sports book. There's a party on the 12th floor here at the D in the ballroom. That's $175 per person. That includes all you can eat and drink.
I was told that it was sold out.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
On the 12th floor, no.
No?
I think she's still got about 20% of her seats left.
Good to know.
So that's $175 a person, all you can eat and drink from 2 till whenever the game ends. And then we have our own player party for invited guests that's going to be in the warehouse space at Circus. So we offer a variety of parties at different price points.
One of my best... Gil, one of my best resources for this is the Vegas Big Game group on Facebook. And I know they get all of the information from all the casinos, all the restaurants, bars, and they post it there. And you have people that visit every year so they can talk about their experiences at those venues, which I think is a great way to, you know, learn. If you're overwhelmed and not sure what to do, that's a group that's going to help you.
And Mikey, the cabanas are still available for both Super Bowl and March Madness? Still some inventory?
Yeah, there is inventory for both. The Thursday and Friday of March Madness sold out in the sports book, and I think there's one cabana left on Friday. But at Super Bowl, we have 2 booths left, and there's still some cabanas and day beds. The first 2 days of March Madness almost sold out, though, right now.
Wow.
I think in the, even the bleacher seats for March Madness in the book, I think there's four left on Thursday and six left on Friday. They just sold through all that inventory.
It's amazing.
Wow. That is amazing. You know, are we back to the Thursday-Friday schedule for March Madness the first weekend?
Yeah, we're back to the regular schedule. Tuesday, two games Tuesday, two games Wednesday, and then your regular Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. Do you, from your standpoint, do you prefer that?
I do. I don't think we gained anything on that wraparound, just like I don't think we gained anything on that wraparound Monday, although, you know, it gave us a Monday night football game. It didn't help us from a perspective as far as even the handle. I think the handle would have been just as good if you had three on Saturday and three on Sunday with it. So I think this people are much more used to the schedule. A lot of people can't leave town on Monday, right? They got to go back to work on Monday, so they have to leave sometime Sunday afternoon.
Mike, Remind me, why did they make that change? Why did they make that change last year?
You know, I think it was COVID-related with the arenas. And you know, remember they had to sanitize between every game and they were trying to stretch it out. And remember they played all the play-in, the four games on the one day. They didn't do it on the Tuesday, Wednesday. So I think it was all COVID-related.
Brian, you were saying?
Yeah. So, Mike, I know when I used to work in hotels, it was we got people asking about Super Bowl in December. Mm-hmm. Is there a strategy to releasing, you know, when you can reserve and when to wait and hold off on it?
Yeah, you're going to see booking patterns in December, and then you want to hold back a little bit of the inventory because some people don't book unless they know who the teams are going to be, right? And then there's this big rush Sunday night, last weekend, and Monday of trying to book. So you don't want to be sold out at that point. So you kind of want to, you know, and it helps to yield, too, to release it in segments instead of releasing the whole thing.
And still on the Super Bowl topic, I know last year I went to a bachelor party, which it was like in the middle of COVID and we had like 10 guys. So that was actually really hard to plan because they had restrictions. Do you have any restrictions this year and on tables besides the
regular? No, we're back to normalcy. We can put 550 people in the space at Circa in the warehouse space and that casino player party. And up here we can get 400. So, you know, we were limited last year at 150 of parties, and we ended up doing a bunch of little pods around the casino and sectioning off bars. It was really kind of clumsy because of the food service. I mean, how do you get them the food? You need them in a space to serve the food. We're giving them bento boxes, you know, at the first quarter and the third. Right. So this will be much more back to normal now.
Very nice, man. All right, which brings us to, by the way, I'm Mikey and Brian and Mark Meltzer are all doing this from the D. I'm at home because I have the Commanders strain of COVID. Todd is in Pittsburgh.
I like to call it the Woofty strain.
The Woofty strain. Worst name ever, by the way. So let's get back to sportsbooks in general. For those who are like, okay, what's the yearly update on sportsbooks? Correct me if I'm wrong, but not much has changed in the last year, right? We still say, and we're not doing this because Mike's here, but Circa is by far the sportsbook pillar, right? Like there's nothing that compares to Circa's screens, to just how the casino revolves around the sports book. It is just a sight to behold. Obviously the pool, Circa Swim also putting an emphasis on the screens outside as well to watch sports. And I'm just thinking, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong here, like what's been new? Resorts World is new, but that sports book is kind of lame and they don't really take a bet either, we find out after a while. Not even after a while, we find out pretty quickly. So, but that's their thing, right? They're not revolving their casino around a sports book. It's just a different business model entirely. And then they still don't have a license at the Hard Rock. Excuse me, at Virgin, right?
That is correct.
What are they, Mark? What are they advertising that Money Room or whatever? They released a lot of advertising on their sports lounge, but they don't have a book yet, right?
They had the sports book that was supposed to be the Bradford sports book, like a traditional small book. And then they have the Moneyline Sports Bar, which is a sports bar. And that was supposed to be where you can go and bet, you know, on a kiosk or something, and then watch the games and have a elevated sports atmosphere. And that is what it is. They do a nice, cheap happy hour if you're into cheap happy hours, but I haven't heard anything otherwise.
But there's no sports betting, right? Virgin still isn't licensed in Nevada.
Correct.
Nope. The space kind of reminds me of what they did at the old Monte Carlo with that little lounge there connected to the sports book.
Yeah.
A little bit, but the way they came out advertising this like a week ago Monday, this money line. I said money pit, but money line. I thought, boy, but what the hell happened? Did somebody get a gaming license and they're going to take a bet there at this bar? But no.
No, I know a lot of people my age go there because it's like the hip thing to do. But again, there's no sports betting. So, right. And people, a lot of people I know that are in town, they don't bet on sports like, you know. Like
they just go there for the bar scene?
Yeah, they just go there for the bar scene, the food, and to watch, and you know, to be hip. And that's kind of the thing.
Well, the great thing about being in 2022 is that everywhere you go in a state with legal sports betting is a sports book. So, like, my bathroom is my sports book if I wanted to be, if I needed to be, you know. And right here, we could bet. I could walk three steps to the desk. I could go to a kiosk, or I could bet with Cirque on my phone. Like, it's, you know, the way it is nowadays.
That's the biggest pro tip for those who are coming in and for those who get apps. You got to turn off the Wi-Fi to have them operate correctly. Is that a universal thing here? What we have to tell everybody?
I never have to turn off my Wi-Fi.
You don't?
No.
You know what, Gil? It's really funny. When I'm at Circa and I'm on the Circa Wi-Fi, I cannot put bets in at other books. When I'm at the D right now and I'm on the Wi-Fi, it doesn't restrict me. So it's really strange. There's nothing consistent about it.
Interesting. If I'm to look at, say, in my apartment, I'm right in the middle of the strip. If I want to look at certain books' lines, I've got to turn off. Although I don't know that's the case anymore. I used to have to turn off the Wi-Fi. Now I'm not so sure I have to do that anymore, now that you mention it. So I don't know. But if you're having trouble putting in bets, sometimes that's the key to all of it. Let me go back to, like, the whole, first of all, the Virgin thing, Brian, which is interesting because I used to basically live at the Hard Rock back when the Hard Rock was the place to be. Yep. The Virgin opening was the lamest opening of any casino I can ever remember in this town, because it was basically like the old Hard Rock ghosts with lipstick put over it. So it's fascinating to me to hear that, like, that it is considered a hip place to go, because that's the first time I'm hearing that.
Just for Moneyline. They have a lot, like, I know that Cassie, which is like their brunch beach spot, is really popular as well for brunch. So I know that's really popular. That and Moneyline are the only two things that I hear about coming out of Virgin. I know they have a couple other restaurants, but that's really it.
What's the brunch beach spot?
So it's called Cassie's, and it's like they do dinner and they do brunch. It's sort of overlooks the pool, and I think that's sort of the vibe they're going for.
Okay.
Sort of a chill
vibe. Is Pink Taco still there, or did that replace Pink Taco?
No, I believe Pink Taco is no longer there.
End of an era.
No more Pink. And no more Lucky, the Mr. Lucky's, which had the 777 steak special.
Mr. Lucky's, which I said the greatest reality show of all time would have been for them to put a camera at the bar at Lucky's and just leave it running, and it would just be constant entertainment.
Fantastic.
Mark, can you describe the whole thing? Okay, so sportsbooks haven't really – there's not much change from this year to last year, but there's a lot planned moving forward. Obviously, the Hard Rock is coming back into Vegas by buying the Mirage. Virgin now is where the Hard Rock used to be. But explain, you and I were talking about this the other night at dinner, about the whole thing with Bally's becoming the Horseshoe and now Tropicana's in play. Can you go through all of that?
Sure. So Caesars is rebranding Bally's Las Vegas into Horseshoe, like you just said. Now, the company named Bally's, Bally's Corp, used to be a company called Twin River. They purchased the operations of Tropicana and are considering rebranding Tropicana as Bally's. They also have no official plan publicly, so they could also implode it and build a baseball stadium there. So that's the Bally saga in a quick version of it.
So are we going to get another sports book there, maybe?
We have no idea because we don't know what they're going to do. The deal should close next quarter. Maybe the third quarter. So they still have a little time to figure out what they want to do. And I think it works perfectly, you know, in case there is some reality to the Oakland A's leaving Oakland and moving to Las Vegas, because they do own a lot of land with that property. It's much bigger than people think. And there's
how many acres is it?
I believe it's 35. I could be wrong on that, but it's wow. Really big, and they have a ton of strip frontage that is occupied by a garage right now. So there's a lot they could do to that land, and they just haven't announced it. They're talking anywhere from imploding the property and building a stadium to just refurbishing the property as it exists. So, you know, and who knows?
Would this be a dome? Would it be a dome stadium? Because how would they have – I've seen these outdoor renderings. I'm like, how do they have outdoor stadium in summer in Vegas? How would they do that?
It would – well, that can exist. It does in the minor league stadium out in Summerlin where the Las Vegas Aviators play. And people love it. But I think for a major league team, it'll be a dome.
One other thing. For those who are coming into Vegas with their buddies and they're not staying in Circa, but they're staying on the Strip as per usual. If you're like, well, I want to make a bet at Circa. I don't have the app, but I also don't want to. I don't want to schlep all the way downtown. Mikey, you have that remote spot at the Tuscany, just off the Strip, which has been very useful to me, by the way. Great spot. Great idea. Is that going to exist still?
Oh yes, yeah. We do. When in terms of volume, Gil, if you rank all of our outlets, number one is the app. Number two is the sportsbook at Circa. Number three is the sportsbook at Tuscany. Then the D, then the Golden Gate, then the pass in Henderson. But in terms of cash through volume, yeah. So it's a great location. When William Hill had it, they said it was their third highest volume location in the state. So I mean, because it's a perfect spot, right? One block off the Strip for everybody that's staying on the Strip. They don't have to go downtown, or they don't have to go west or south or anything like that. I mean, it's walking distance.
Also a very good sports bar right across that has 365 different beers.
That's the name of it, right? The
yeah, 365. It's Pop 365. I still have a promo cap with a bottle opener on the lid of the hat.
They have an underrated Italian steakhouse there as well, Tuscany Gardens. It's very, very good.
What they don't have anymore is table games.
Yeah, all just electronic now.
Yeah.
Table games. So, Mike, I have a question for you. This is actually kind of simple for people who live here or familiar with apps. But if you're like in Iowa and have like a Circa app in Iowa, and you're coming to Vegas for the Super Bowl, do you have to get the Nevada Circa app?
Yes.
To
be able to the Iowa app's only applicable in Iowa. It's only functional in Iowa.
But it's funny because I had some friends visiting last year in November for. A variety of things are their annual trip that they missed the year previous. But they're BetMGM customers, and they couldn't use their app from home here. And thankfully, there were quote-unquote ambassadors to help them sign up and get their get a new app. But it's ridiculous that the apps outside of this state do not work in this state, because I believe that if you have like a DraftKings or a FanDuel, you can use those.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, Mark.
You can use
different states.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say that you could use those apps in different states. And I think, Gil, to what you were saying with regards to Wi-Fi issues, it is the technology problem that's here. And, you know, we have different versions of every app, and no matter what the brand is. So Nevada is very different because there's no remote sign up available. So it's a completely different app unit, and it's just not compatible with everything else.
The reason I asked that was because my dad had the same issue. They signed him up to BetMGM because he lives in Arizona, and then he had like $300 in his app here, and he thought he could go to Arizona and use it in the Arizona app, and then it didn't. So then we had to figure it out. So that's why I asked.
It's like Nevada is its own country in a sense. The rest of the states, you can go from Pennsylvania to New Jersey, no problem. You can go Pennsylvania to New York, no problem. You go Pennsylvania to West Virginia, wherever you want to go, you're still no problem. You're still in that company. But Nevada is like its own country in a sense. As soon as you go into the state of Nevada, now it's a whole different deal.
Oh, I didn't realize that, Todd. That's interesting. So yeah, it's. And by the way, New York. Shattering all records for sports betting handle. I think we all thought it would be big. I don't think we all knew it would be quite this big, but just absolutely breaking record books. Yes, sir.
A funny email I got last night was from a company called GeoComply, which helps the companies stay within state lines. So, like, if you're in New York, they track every wager placed from New York. And they did that. They sent out a press release last night that Louisiana – in its first weekend of mobile sports betting, had more bets per capita, 3.6 versus 3.3 in New York. So it's interesting to look at it, because we're looking at populations. There's 18 million people in New York State. There's 3 million in Nevada. It's kind of weird to compare apples and oranges. that way. So
well, no, I mean, but this is why, like, you know, everyone's like, when's DraftKings coming? When's FanDuel coming? Like, one of the biggest things for me is it's like, you know what? It's not that populous of a state to like rush into. Like, it's not the biggest priority in the world to be in Las Vegas or in Nevada itself. Mike,
one other thing about that you guys might want to note, if you're in a particular casino, you may not be able to access another sports book's app. So, for example, if you're sitting in the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you think, oh, no problem, I'll just bet whoever I want to bet, right? Well, you can bet with FanDuel, but you can't bet with DraftKings there, and you can't even bet with Bet Rivers' own app because Bet Rivers has it blocked off. And it pretends that it's not in the state of Pennsylvania, even though it really is, because they want you to use their kiosks. So there's all kinds of mishigas, so to speak, with this. And the only reason I bring it up is, you know, people might want to know that if they're going different places and they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm in this casino. Why can't I use my sports betting app? Well, guess what? There's all kind of mishigas going on.
So basically, there's nothing uniform at all is essentially what we're saying.
Where can you use the Bet Rivers app? Todd, where?
The bet, you can use the Bet Rivers app in all of Pennsylvania, but not in their casino. How hysterical is that? You can be sitting in their casino, try to use their app, and it won't work. And if you call customer service, they don't know why until you finally get to the right person who explains that, guess what? We want you to use the kiosk because the app people and the Bet Rivers people are affiliated, but not really exactly the same company. So they don't want you to use the app inside the casino. They want you to go to the kiosk and use their kiosk. It's so ridiculous. It's unbelievable, but it's actually the truth.
I hate that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was going to say the casino operator and the Interactive are different corporations. So the casino itself wants the revenue for them and not for the other entity.
Exactly. And by the way, they can't even answer the question. If you go and ask them, the only reason I know this is because I'm a crazy lunatic who kept calling until I finally found out what the true answer was.
So that's the answer, Meltzer. Is that the deal? It's two different agendas.
I'm assuming that's the case.
Yeah.
No, they admit it. They admit that they're not. They admit that they're not really 100% Rivers. They're somewhat affiliated. That's what they say.
There's also the other thing of, and this gets beyond the technology. There's also the thing like take a BetMGM. What is available to BetMGM props wise in the rest of the country outside of Nevada is not always available here in Nevada. We have a much more skeletal menu of betting, and the reasons given is often, oh, we have technology limitations, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but there's also that ridiculousness as well, where not all BetMGMs, just to use them as an example, not all BetMGMs are created equal. I'm not sure if it's the same at Circa. I'm not sure if there's different things offered in Colorado that there are in Nevada, Mike. Is that true?
Well, there's things we can book in Colorado we can't book in Nevada. We can book the hot dog eating contest there, but we can't book it. Now, we just got approval. You know, we do the Circa Squares where you can pick the score of the quarters. It was pre-approved in Iowa. It hadn't been in Colorado, but we just got it approved yesterday. So we're launching it. It'll be in all three states. But Nevada generally is much more restrictive on prop offerings.
Yeah. What I'm referring to is just actual stuff. Like, maybe it is that. Maybe it is regulatory stuff.
Gil, it's regulations for the most part. When it comes to props specifically, Nevada, as Mike just said, they'll maybe let you bet five Super Bowl or five NFL draft props, whereas go to Jersey and there's 100. So that's definitely...
There's that same thing in Pennsylvania.
Right, I was going to say...
You can't do, like, certain coaching.
It's different in every state, is based on the regulation. So...
Are we having trouble hearing Todd as much as I am, by the way? Or is everyone hearing Todd okay?
He's fine.
I hear Todd good.
He's fine? Okay. I can't hear Todd at all. Okay. All right. Mikey, you mentioned steakhouses. You were the first person to mention steakhouse. So let's move to that for a second. What are our favorite steakhouses in town? Mike, start with you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
I'm going to be biased here, but look, I like Andiamo, and people will say, oh, Barry's is open now. Some people like Andiamo better than Barry's. I think it's a different experience. Andiamo is a little more food driven and less about, the whole ambiance and all that of Barry's. But I we've eaten up here, Gil and Todd, and I've never had a bad meal here. You can go fish. You can go, obviously, the steaks. They have the Italian dishes. I haven't found a place that I enjoy better in town.
I think Andiamo and SW for me over at the Wynn are the most consistently great steaks each and every time you go there. And I will say the same thing, and what you're alluding to, and I'll say what Mike sort of is, hinting at. I think Andiamo is a better steakhouse than some of the others under the Circa tent that get a little more hype than that, like Barry's. But I love SW. Mark, you and I went to Carver Steak the other day at Resorts World. That was outstanding, I thought. You?
Absolutely. It was probably the best new steakhouse I've been to in maybe 5 years. I was blown away with the food, everything we had, from the bread to the salad, to the mac and cheese, and obviously the steak was fantastic. The only thing that was lacking was the service, and I think it might have just been because, A, I was not wearing a white bodysuit, and
yes.
B, every table in the restaurant was full, and I think they might have just been a little overwhelmed, and that's why our guy was rushing back and forth.
Well, the thing with the shtick with Carver Steak is that they let you pick your own steak knife. They come and they display something that says pick your weapon, and it's five steak knives. And before Mark and I were even able to open our mouths to pick which one, dude was like, bang, bang. He just gave it to us. So we were like, okay, I get it. You're in a rush to talk to the table with the women over there, but can we at least pick our own damn knife? And then you can have the option to buy your knife afterwards if you like
it. And they'll ship it to you at home, which is amazing.
That's right. Yeah. What a great steak. Brian, you been any?
Yeah. So I always liked Kraft Steak at MGM, was always really consistent. I went to Delmonico a couple weeks ago, which is at the Palazzo Hotel, and I thought their steak was actually fantastic. And they also do like a tossed like Caesar salad kind of thing. It was like $30. There were three of us, but we shared it. But I feel like a lot of things, when it comes down to steakhouses, besides the food, a lot of it comes down to presentation of things and kind of the ambiance, which, because there's so many steakhouses, that's kind of how they have to separate themselves besides having, fantastic steak. So Delmonico was a fantastic steak, I would have to say.
Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and I from Primetime Action, we went to Delmonico's a couple months back, and it was an excellent steak as well.
Yeah.
But for me, it really just comes down to, if I'm going to a steakhouse, I want to know that steak is going to be perfection every single time. And Andiamo and SW win the prize for me. We're just like, every time you go, it is absolute perfection.
You have to get the cool funnel cake at SW, like the cool, like it's on the stick kind of thing. It was like art, like eating art kind of a deal.
Oh, SW has that, when they bring the bread, they have that like ham and cheese popover thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Stop it.
Oh, you can have about 10 of those before you even get to your steak.
So 2 weeks ago.
Are buffets open yet?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Are buffets open yet in Vegas yet, Mark?
So most buffets are not coming back. The South Point buffet is open and the line is massive for it. But a lot of the corporations like Boyd Gaming Properties, Caesars, they don't find them to be profitable unless they're at a very high price point. So a lot of them are not coming back. Red Station's getting rid of all their buffets as well on the locals casino side. But the Cosmopolitan's buffet is open, Caesar's buffet is open, but they're going to cost you $100. You're not going there for like a $10, I'll take the blue or the yellow from, from Vegas Vacation. They're upscale, very expensive, and they're appropriately priced. They're not discounted type buffets.
Todd and I used to go to not only the South Point one, but we used to go to the Wynn buffet. Is the Wynn still open, their buffet?
Yes.
Because that, remember you...
Wynn will cost you $75 for lunch.
Well, it won't cost Todd that. It'll cost me that when I pay for Todd. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
It was much less... it was more price appropriate for me.
Yeah. But you and I went, Mark. You and I went to the Wynn when they were when they tried this, like, COVID reactionary buffet where they were going to bring the food to your table. That never stuck, right?
I love that concept. I wish everybody did that.
I hated that. That was the worst.
You know what? I'm a lazy guy. Bring me the food. Bring me all of the food all of the time. Give me 2 hours of just bringing me food. Why would you not want somebody to keep feeding you?
Because when you go yourself, the whole point of a buffet is to meet out the appropriate foods. Then you go the second time. It's like your all-star team of foods.
I'm with
you. Here's how you deal with it. You look at the menu, you place an order. You eat the food or you don't eat the food. You look at the menu again, you place another order, and you
can
get...
I don't want to wait.
They're just bringing you the food from the buffet. It's the same thing. It's already made.
It's taking too long. No, Mark, no. Oh. It's taking too long.
You guys are
nuts. I want to go up and do my own thing.
You guys are nuts. You're absolutely nuts.
Jeez, I want to go to the buffet right now. Jesus, this tastes so good. The South Point Buffet is good, as you're saying, also, for those who are off the beaten path. So what other, besides steaks, though, what other great restaurants, new or old, have you been to this year? Mark, start with you.
Not really a lot of new. I've been visiting my old favorites, you know, and it's whether it's Andiamo or, you know, I've stayed at the Cosmopolitan 12 times in the last 12 months. I'll be there next week for the 13th time in 13 months. Yeah. So I've been to almost all of those restaurants repeatedly. So, I love Momofuku over there. I love Bong Bar. Hattie B's is a great deal there for some fried chicken. But other than that, you know, Carbone is amazing. Pricey. Yardbird, amazing. A little bit pricey. Ping Pang Pong over at Gold Coast is still one of my favorites to go with a group. You know, we spent a dinner at Carbone, split, call it six ways, the entire meal at Ping Pang Pong for the same amount of people was the same cost as one person at Carbone. Absolutely amazing, you know, but the food there is great. They'll feed you, they'll bring you cart. Maybe this will work for your buffet model. They walk around with carts of dumplings and stuff. Where you can just order food as they walk by you, so you don't have to wait at all.
At Ping Pong Pong?
Do you also get the smoke smell there at Ping Pong Pong? Or does that not come along with the deal? Because when you walk into that Gold Coast, man, it smells so bad from smoke. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they keep that outside of the restaurant, thankfully.
I will say Carbone to me is still my favorite restaurant in town. It's my home games. I will go there every night if you let me. Carbone. Plus, apparently, they dash out a little COVID while you're there as well, I'm guessing.
Huh. A couple new ones. El Solito Posto, I believe it's called, out in Summerlin, is fantastic Italian restaurant. It's in a place called Tivoli Village, like in that little outdoor shopping area. That is probably the best thing I ate last year, the best new restaurant I ate at last year. We talked about the Cosmo Super Frico. You and I ate that, Gil. Food was good, not great. The experience itself was absolutely amazing.
I don't need Cirque du Soleil like dancers dancing on top of me while I eat kind of thing.
I thought it was fun, but I was also not ready for that kind of environment at the time. So I was a little taken aback by it. You know, by a naked guy or a guy in his underwear walking around. It was very strange, but it's an interesting thing. And again, if you're looking for an only in Vegas kind of experience, that's definitely all in Vegas, for better or worse. Yeah. And there's one restaurant I want to try. Mike, maybe you've tried this, Soul Belly Barbecue. It's downtown.
I have not.
I'm looking forward to it. Everyone comes out of there raving, whether it's eating traditional barbecue or even the burger. I'm told, is fantastic. So that's.
By the way, how about Israeli hummus restaurants? Are you big on those?
Hummus Grill, baby.
Because me and Gil used to go to this place called Hummus Grill next to the Golden Steer on Sahara. It's the funniest place in the world because you go in and you try to order something. The guy goes, no. Let me tell you what you're going to have. He orders for you. It's fantastic.
Mark, did you see they had this riot at the Golden Steer a couple nights ago? They ran out of, I think it was Sunday night, they ran out of steak.
Oh, and people couldn't get Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. Oh, that's it.
Same thing.
No. So let me just do these one by one on the strip for a second. Brian, we'll do you next here. So for me, and I'll just start at Park MGM. Park MGM, there's an Eataly there. For those who are in New York, they understand what Eataly is. Eataly's not for everybody, and the one here is still post-pandemic. It's not the full breadth of options. So that's like a high-end, very pretentious place. But they have a few restaurants in there. Bavette's, which is a steakhouse. Really good steaks, although if you don't like a lot of char on your steaks, order it with less char. That's my tip at Bavette's. Also bring a lantern because it's pitch black in there. But the bread is the greatest bread you will ever have in your life. The most glutinous, most fucking awesome bread ever. is at Bavette's, and they have this wedge salad that is to die for. But again, bring a lantern like Ben Franklin because you can't see the person in front of you. They also have the my best friend. What is that one, Mark?
Best friend by Roy Choi.
A little too spicy for my tastes, but some people like spicy, generally speaking. So that's that spot. There's also a place at Nomad, which is like a library, which apparently is very good. I haven't been, but is also supposed to be very good. The Aria, Carbone, cream of the cream. Beaten hard times, that is my dream. It's the greatest thing ever. Italian food, greatest atmosphere in Vegas. If you want good Mexican food, but high-end, Javier's at Aria is exceptional. Great salsa, great Mexican food. That's also like high recommendation, I think, there. I would say my favorite thing at Circa is the brisket fried rice at 8 East, Vegas, or Vital Vegas style, with the chicken, the tender chicken in there. That brisket fried rice is the greatest thing ever. After the Megapod, I go over there and grab some, and I just get fat once a week. It is just absolutely spectacular. And then the Wynn, which is my other spot, and I'll leave it at this, and I'll go to Brian. But the Wynn, first of all, if you want the highest end, and I know my taste will run high. I know I've become bougie in my old age. Wing Lei, I believe is the name of the place, with the greatest Chinese food ever, but you're going to need to make the reservations in advance. The duck there is out of control, but it is like super high, super duper expensive. They have a new Mexican restaurant at the Wynn, which is pretty good as well. Do you remember the name of that, Mark? Shoot.
Casa Playa.
Playa, thank you, Brian. High-end Mexican food. If you're doing the Wynn thing. And then the biggest thing, and this will transition to Brian, because I know Brian's had an experience with a supper club. But if you really want to do Vegas in the most awesome, extravagant way possible, and you know that your trip is coming up in a couple months, supper clubs are a new thing. And at the Wynn, there's a place called Delilah's. Now, it will take you months in advance to get a reservation if you don't know somebody. But it's an L.A. vibe. It's from L.A., Delilah's. And they definitely have an arrogant L.A. attitude in there. I've been three times. Twice, I've gotten rock star seating. And it's basically like you enter the 1920s. There's live music while you eat. The food is good, very good. Not great, but very, very good. But it's the atmosphere. The third time of the three, though, I got one of the outside tables. And getting one of the outside tables is like their way of telling you that you're a second-class citizen. So the whole key to Delilah's is indoor seating, months in advance reservation. But it is the greatest, to me, the greatest Vegas experience you can have. And you, Brian, you just went to a supper club elsewhere, right?
Yeah, so I'll actually touch on your Delilah experience. So the friend that I went with last night to Mayfair, she's a concierge at the Wynn currently. I won't say her name. But she works there. So Monday through Thursday, you can, if you book long enough, you can get a reservation if you're a normal person. So a lot of the management there, like Friday through Sunday, really just want celebrities, you know, high rollers in there, you know, casino invited guests, and that's it. And then also, if you book for two, you have to really go to Delilah's and book for like six people. to be guaranteed inside. Because if you go as two people, that's why they sit you outside. She told me this. She said, if you go as just a couple, just two people, they're almost automatically putting you outside, which is a thing. I also have been to Delilah's. I went there once. It was like the second week that they were open. I said, I'm just going to go have a drink at the bar. They said, well, just make sure you're out, like, soon, like before 7. It was like 6:30. So I was like, okay. So it kind of put me off. So, yes, definitely the attitude thing is what I got.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it just, like, makes you not want to go. And it's just, I mean, it's a great atmosphere, though. Very, like, very Coco Cabana kind of thing, which is awesome. No, sorry, not Coco Cabana. The one in L.A. that used to be there, what was it called? Coconut Grove, the old one in the Ambassador Hotel. And then Mayfair is like Copacabana, which I went last night. And I would recommend, you know, share the entrees. Like, they have New York Strip. They have a really good potato puree. The truffle pasta is fantastic. The food is, again, it's good. But really what elevates it is the experience. So just the singers, it's a little bit more lively. They like to interact.
Where, Brian?
This is at Bellagio. So it actually overlooks the fountains, which is funny. You almost don't want a fountain view because you want to be able to watch the stuff on the stage, which is actually great. But again, definitely make a reservation about a month or two in advance or a couple weeks in advance. During the week, they still have all the entertainment. So that's cool. You can go on a Wednesday and still get entertainment, which is great. And this is a good tip. If you make a reservation, they will always seat you in the main dining room because it's actually split where there's like a bar with a wall where you can't see the performers. And that's if you, like, walk in and just want a table for two. But if you make a reservation, you're guaranteed a seat in the main room. So I really like Mayfair. It's a good spot.
Great tips.
Yeah, so I like Mayfair. It's a great spot. And I also love Scarpetta, which I went 2 weeks ago with my brother and his wife. And they had the same bread that you're talking about at Delmonico that has the, like, salami and, like, the just different meats inside of the bread. So they ate the whole thing. They loved the thing. And they said that was their favorite part of the experience was the bread, which was free.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Back to the Cosmo for a second. Because Mark mentioned some of the stuff at the Cosmo. What we're referring to is there's a food court, right? People can remember the old sports book at the Cosmo when it was on the second floor. There's now a high-end food court, urban food court. Yeah. And Hattie's, the fried chicken place, is there. Bong Bar, the David Chang place. I just got Bong Bar last night, which is a great meal to have during COVID, by the way. It's fabulous. That's a great little area of the Cosmo for food where you don't have to sit down and spend a lot of time, but you can just get quick stuff. Back to the Mayfair and Delilah thing for a second. So Delilah's, and again, I don't know how much of our audience, like, wants to do the Mayfair and Delilah's thing, but if you are really trying to go full throttle Vegas vacation, the one thing about Delilah's, and I know somebody high up at the Wynn who has schooled me on all this stuff, those LA people are having trouble really acclimating to what is prioritized in Vegas. So they've had incidents there where the Wynn had a guy that just dropped like $1 million at the tables, right? And he wants a table at Delilah's. And those LA people are like, sorry, we can't get him a table. And the people in the casino are like, no, you don't understand. You have to give him a fucking table. This is not how this works. Like, I know you guys are so L.A. focused and stuff, but this guy just dropped 7 figures at our casino. Give him a goddamn table. So there's that they're dealing with, which is an interesting little cultural divide, which I guess they'll work out over time or not. But that's the spot. But you're absolutely right, Brian, about the off-putting feeling, too. Me and my girl went to the time we went, we were sat in the outside. We were like, I never want to come back again.
Yeah. Because everything's on the inside, for sure. And going back to your Cosmopolitan, the 16 block is the name of the food court.
Yes.
This is, if anybody wants like a cool speakeasy, because cool is cool. So if you go to the back of that food court, there's a door that has an exit sign on it, regular exit sign, and it has a picture of like a pinata donkey. Yeah. So you actually go through that door, usually when operating hours, like after 5 or 6, and you go through it, and there's this little room, probably the size of the table that we're looking at right now. And it's the coolest speakeasy that I've been to in town. Because it's like a secret, which is awesome. They only do, like, tequila and mezcal. You're only going to be in there for maybe 30 minutes because it's so small. But it is the coolest, like, pimp move, if you will. Like if you're going on a date or whatever, like, hey, let me take you to this cool spot. And it's cooler than like a nightclub because you can go in there, you can talk, you can, you know, have drinks. They have like these cool nachos that you can try. But it's called Ghost Donkey, and it's sort of like Secret Pizza, but more of a secret, which is awesome.
It's so rad. And as a New Yorker, it felt like when I used to live in New York and go downtown to bars in the Lower East Side, it felt like a dive from that part of New York City, which I loved. Obviously, it's cleaned up for Vegas, but it's fantastic. It's one of my favorite, like little, like you just said, it's of all the hidden speakeasies.
Yeah.
It's probably the one, even though I don't drink mezcal or tequila normally,
right.
I'll drink the hell out of some mezcal in there.
Oh yeah, because their bartenders are great mixologists. We'll use that.
It's right in the back there, Mark. You and I, We ate when we had Bong Bar the first time. Right in the back, as you were describing, Brian, is that door for that speakeasy. Then of course there's Beauty in Essex up top, which is essentially a pawn shop upstairs, which acts like a speakeasy in the back, which is where their restaurant is. Loud as hell in there.
Yeah.
And then there's the Secret Pizza one. So Cosmo has all these little secret kind of things going on.
Yeah.
But that's probably the coolest of the bunch.
And going back to what you were talking about, high rollers. So one time at MGM, we had somebody who wanted a seafood tower or whatever it was from Kraft Steak, and they were at a different bar. And we had a thing where it's like, no, you can't order out. But they were actually at Centrifuge, which is over near Hakkasan. And they said, well, we're a Noir member, which is like the highest level of MGM. So we talked to Kraft Steak and said, okay, it's fine. So money definitely gets you anywhere in this town for sure.
That it does, but apparently at Delilah's, those LA people haven't figured it out yet. That's an interesting story. So tell some of your stories, Brian. You were a concierge at MGM, and you were saying before the show, you've had to accommodate all kinds of different people.
Yeah. So so this is kind of a fun one, but sounds kind of dirty when we started. So we had a woman who walked up to the desk, and she was getting married. And she had breast cancer, so she had a mastectomy, and then she had, you know, fake breasts put in. So she had prosthetic nipples that she left at home, and she was getting married, you know, the next day. And she wanted to have, you know, nipples for her honeymoon. So she asked us if we can find some for her. So we started calling all the costume shops. We found one that had, you know, nipples. And then we just needed, like, the glue or the adhesive. So then we're trying to brainstorm, where can we find this stuff? So then we, since we work at MGM, we have Ka, which is the show there. So we're like, let's just call them and see if they have something. So we said, yeah, do you have these things? And they said, yeah. And do you also need the nipples too? And we're like, yeah, of course. So we went in, got the nipples, gave them to her, and she had a great wedding. So that was one of our cooler stories that is helping a guest, which is all what we're all about, being a concierge. I would say to anybody who's listening that anybody can use the concierge. Like, just because it sounds like a fancy word, it's really for everybody, and we're really there to assist with any needs, high and low, you know, need. So, I mean, I've helped somebody spend $15,000 in a week. I've helped somebody for free. So we're really here to make your experience the best it can, and we're in the experience making business. So they should always use or utilize the concierge, even with Super Bowl questions, because we used to get that all the time, December and January, is, hey, I want to watch the Super Bowl. There's six of us. Where can I watch it? And we have all the information for our properties, other properties. Even if we can't book it, we can at least give you the prices, you know, who to contact. So a concierge is a very good person in a hotel to utilize if you have no idea what to do, because we're supposed to know everything. So that's what
we good
do.
Advice. That's good
also
advice.
Or just nipples?
We
fake schmeckles too.
As long as it's something we can find, and as long as it's legal and ethical, we will do our best to grab it for you.
What's the little person story that you told Brian?
So we had a gentleman come, and his group had a thing about, you know, little people for whatever. And
what do you mean they had a thing about little people?
So they wanted to take a picture with a little person. And This was Friday. They walk up to me on Friday, and they wanted a little person for a birthday at the pool for Saturday. So they give me, like, you know, a day to figure it out. So good enough. So this is down the road of my concierge career. We had, like, an event group that we talk with. So called them. They gave us a little person agent. And there were actually two companies we called. So the first one, too expensive, and they were like in Washington. It was like $1,500 plus round trip. So that was out. So then we found the little person agent. They wanted $800. So then we had to negotiate with the guest, who said $500 is my limit. So we got them down to $500. And it took about 3-4 hours, but we were able to book the little person for the birthday. They were supposed to shoot, and it had to be a girl. Had to be a woman. Couldn't be any a little person. It had to be a woman. So she dressed up as Marilyn Monroe, went out, and $500, and that's what it costs for a little person at a party.
You know, I don't know if you've heard this before, but there was an old Vegas duo. This was like in the 90s, where it was called, and I don't know if it's politically correct anymore, but it was a midget and a monkey. There was a little person and a chimp that were a tandem team that you could hire to just hang out at bachelor parties. And that was the beauty of it, is they didn't do anything. They just hung out with you. Yep. But that was like a famous Vegas staple.
Yeah, it was so interesting. It was just an interesting request. But we thrive on interesting requests. We do show tickets and dinner reservations all the time. We love doing requests, usually crazy requests. I can do a heart on a bed like in 10 minutes. That's my go-to. Hearts on beds.
What is your 10
proposals? What's that?
Oh, was the 10 minutes thing hearts? What you said?
Oh, I can do like a heart, a rose petal heart on a bed in like less than 10 minutes in a good day. But then I got fat and it hurt my back, so I had to, you know, it happens.
Brian, are you still doing any of this stuff? Are you still employed doing this or no?
No, I don't. I try to keep up on it though, but you do it enough. Like Valentine's Day is definitely like the Super Bowl for concierge. We do dinner reservations. Thing we get tipped the most on, and I mean you should tip this person, is boarding passes. People love to come to the concierge to print their boarding passes, and I always got tipped for that, and it was crazy. So that largest tip I ever got, I've gotten a couple $100 tips. Those are pretty cool, and doing random things. Like I had
miss
a
that?
Miss do
that
I miss job? It? It's a really yeah. It was a really fun. It was probably the most fun job I've ever had. Like we got a lot of. We got a lot of invites to go to like shows, tours, like to the Grand Canyon and everywhere. It was cool to throw around like I'm a concierge and get cool stuff at restaurants. Like we used to get, this is kind of a secret, but I'm telling you now, is that Mastro's, we used to get 50% off if we made a reservation there, up to 4 people, and we would get 50% off. Just showed our business card. And that was it.
So can I tell you, I think Mastro's, the quality of Mastro's has gone so far downhill.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a very long time.
Heyday.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so terrible the last time we
yeah,
went.
Yeah, it's in the mall, so it's kind of loud. It's kind of a weird setup, but I mean, it's fine. But no, yeah, so the $100 tip, it was so it's really scary when they tip you before you do anything, because then like you feel like you have to deliver. So it was like Memorial Day weekend, so big pool weekend. It was Thursday, and this businessman walked up and says, I want a cabana at the pool, which we really don't control. We can make the bookings, but we can't, like, pop up a cabana. And he asked, and he's like, it's kind of busy weekend. He's like, see what you can do. And then slid me the 100. And then I was like, oh, God, now I have to, like, make it happen. And thankfully, there were, like, 4 cabanas available. They were, like, $1,300 food and beverage minimum. Which is very common for a lot of the pools. It's like if you do a cabana, same thing at Circa, is food and beverage minimum is like the price. So you pay $1,400 ahead of time, and then that's how much food and beverage you have for the entire length of your stay. So if you don't spend that much, then you're still getting charged that plus gratuity and all that. So I played it up and said, oh, it looks like I can move some stuff around. You have a cabana for this much, and then made it sound like I did something fantastic, but really just booked it. But it's all about acting. It's all about a game, and that's really what it is. Concierge game.
I appreciate that. That gives people a sense of what can be accomplished here.
Yeah. You can get anything in town as long as you're willing to pay for it.
Anything other food-wise? Obviously, Resorts World, the food court, we should probably give them a shout-out because the food court, like if Circa's you know, main staple is the sports book and the pool. That's what they're known for. Would we not agree that Resorts World is pretty much known for its food court at this point?
Yes.
Mark?
Sure.
Yeah.
But I do have one restaurant coming later this year that I cannot believe how excited people are for it. And it's Peter Luger's opening in Caesar's Palace.
Yeah.
It's obviously old school New York steakhouse. That I used to only take cash back in the day when I lived there. I don't know how it is nowadays, but it's a very classic and traditional steakhouse. And it'll be interesting to see if what the demand is, because in Caesars alone, you have Old Homestead, you have in the mall, in the Forum Shops, the busiest restaurant in the country, I believe, is Joe's Seafood and Prime Steak. So Adding another high-end, very in-demand steakhouse is going to be interesting, to say the least. I had no Adele there, so.
I've been to the one in Brooklyn.
Thanks, Adele.
It's awesome.
I had tickets to Adele on February 25th, but not going now, I guess. So, I know. Yeah, I was going to go eat
at. Should we tell that story?
I was going to go eat at Amalfi, which is Bobby Flay's restaurant, because, you know, fish. I hate fish, but the girl I was going with sort of liked fish, and she's going to be dressed up, and I don't want to, you know, feel fat, so we're going to eat fish. But I guess we're not eating there. But so it was a whole process. You had to sign up, you know, a week before the tickets went on sale, be selected. Once you were selected, you got a certain date. And then once you got the date, you had to, you know, go buy the tickets. The day that they were supposed to go on sale, they Amazon's, like, server system went down, which was it's AWS or whatever, went down. So it had to be the next day. Next day comes, you purchase your tickets, you're good to go. So all excited, make all the plans, learn how to tie a bow tie, which was why I want to go back to be a concierge, because I could tie bow ties. And then we find out she's not going to be performing. So right now it's postponed, but we'll see if she ends up coming.
Mike, this seems like a good time for you to tell your Madonna story.
First of all, Gil, I'd like to say you can't, in today's era, you can't say that anymore. Your little story about what was available for the party rental, I don't think you can say monkey anymore. But yes, I had received tickets to Madonna.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
When she came to Caesar's Palace, well, I don't know, what was it, 2-3 years ago? And she gained a lot of headlines for the antics of the show, though. But so my wife and I made a dinner reservation. The show was supposed to be at 8:30. So my wife and I made a dinner reservation at Old Homestead at 7 o'clock, right across from the theater there. So we go to pick up our tickets the night before, and there's a sign, the show has been changed to 9:30. So it's not 8:30, it's 9. Well, so now I go over to the steakhouse because I got to move the. Luckily, they said, okay, well, we can do 7:30 instead of 7. So fine. So we get done eating, 8:45. We go over to the line. They start letting people in, you know, 9 o'clock. We're seated by 9:05. That's nice. Hopefully the show will start by 9:45 or 10. Oh, of course not. Not 10. Not 10:15. Not 10:30. Now people are getting restless because it's a. They delayed it an hour the day before. Now everyone's been seated for an hour. People were getting very
nothing's
anxious.
On the stage? Mike, nothing's on the stage?
There's no – they're not even playing music in the theater. They're not even playing background music. Everybody's just sitting there milling about asking what's going on. The people would come out and say, oh, she's just a few minutes, just a few more minutes. And my wife was getting pissed, right? She's like, well, how long are we going to be here? If she comes out at 10:30, we're going to be here to 1:30, and we're going to – I said, well, what are we going to do now? We're here. We're dressed up. Now, people are walking around talking to each other. I said, well, let me have some fun. So, you know, I would talk to people, and I'd say, are we going to allow them to do this to us? This is ridiculous. We need to get her out here. No justice, no peace. Now, little did I know that there would still be 2 more hours of waiting. I mean, and so it was kind of
– what?
She came out at 12:08, Todd, and she said, the queen can never be late. That was her opening statement. The queen can never be late. We walked out at 12:45. I recognized she played one verse of Papa Don't Preach is the only thing I recognized at all of what she did. A lot of it was she talked a political because the election was coming and all this. And it was just absolutely awful. I don't feel as bad because I had comp tickets, right? But how about the people that paid $500 or $700 a ticket for her basically to spit in your face? I mean, it was awful.
Once in San Francisco, I mean, at least in Vegas, you're right on the strip. Once in San Francisco, we drove down to Shoreline Amphitheater, which is down the 101. Is it the 101? Yeah. And, yeah, man, like Whitney, it was in Whitney Houston's worst drug days. And we got there, we waited, we got out of our car, we schlepped down the freeway, we got out of our car, got to our spot on the grass. I think I had grass seats. And then someone came on stage and said, Whitney Houston will not be able to perform tonight. You know, like, it's just like, what? The kind of inconvenience that it creates people in so many ways, these prima donnas, these divas. That Adele thing is amazing, because for her to cancel that right before the residency is the height of just botching something like that.
And in addition to that, you have to take a COVID test before you go. So you have to be vaccinated, and then you have to take a COVID test 48 hours before the show. So she canceled on a Thursday, so many people got their COVID test on, like, Wednesday, and they have to pay for it extra because they have to get the results back so they can go. So that's an extra, you know, whatever it is to get a COVID test. So I feel really bad for the people that were having a show that weekend, because a lot of people flew from, like, New York and different parts of the world. That's terrible for sure.
I mean, the one thing I will say, though, is my single – if someone asked me, what's your favorite part about living in Vegas – it's not the sports books, obviously. I think we've established that what we have available to us here in Las Vegas is not nearly what Todd, for instance, has available to him in Pennsylvania. For me, it's the live music. It is the chance, despite the Adele story, despite the Madonna story, it is the ability to see live music at the drop of a dime next door if you happen to live where I live. But really, everything's so convenient. And just right now, just sort of scanning down who's performing over the course of the next few months in Vegas. First of all, Bruno Mars, who is always performing at Park MGM, now he's with Silk Sonic, with Anderson .Paak and Silk Sonic doing shows at Park MGM. For those who love R&B, that's an unbelievable set of concerts that's coming up. There's also Babyface with Kim. I believe that's at Virgin. For those who are into R&B, anything Babyface. Babyface used to do a residency for a brief while at the Mirage, which I went to see. Now he's with Kim, so that should be kind of cool. And then there's, you know, just like some of the old rock groups, the Doobies have a bunch of concerts with Michael McDonald. I am completely getting tickets for that. Had there not been the Michael McDonald element to that, I might not. But that's awesome. And then Garth Brooks is performing in town, which I've never seen Garth Brooks perform. That's the one thing about living in Vegas that I always say. It will make you say, because everything's so convenient, it will make you go see acts and genres that you otherwise wouldn't if you live in other towns in America. Like in San Francisco, I wouldn't just schlep down the freeway to go see the Doobies or to go see Garth Brooks. But because they're next door here, I'd love to go see all these groups. And I don't know, I might have missed a lot of acts that are coming up too.
You definitely did. And Garth Brooks last year played the Allegiant Stadium, one of the first concerts in that stadium, maybe even the first. It was definitely one of the first three, but you totally missed a lot. There's a ton of classic rock, like you said. Even like on the small, there's Scorpions, Foreigner, you know, on the Chicago, Cheap Trick is doing a residency. Sammy Hagar re-upped his residency. Styx is doing a residency, but on a more, on something that's not 30 years old or 40 years old or 50 years old, you have Carrie Underwood's doing one, Luke Bryan over at Resorts World, Katy Perry's doing one there. They're just there's so many residencies, and there's festivals now. You know, this when we were young, I believe it's called the 90s alternative pop emo, whatever you want to call it. That it sold out two nights, and they added a third night. I'm not sure if that sold out already, but there's all kinds of festivals. Life is Beautiful downtown. EDC is one of the, you know, largest EDM festivals in the world. And iHeartRadio, they have that one coming. I read that Las Rages might be coming back, a little hard rock downtown, but I've not seen a confirmation. That happens across the street from the D, Mike, and maybe we can get a little heads up on that.
Yeah. You know, we had, speaking of your story about Whitney Houston, we had this I Love the 90s concert here.
Yeah.
How long ago was it?
It was 2 years ago.
No, here. We just had it here a while.
It was around New Year's Eve, wasn't it?
Yeah, but oh, that's right. It was for New Year's Eve. But, you know, the headliner was Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice.
Except Vanilla Ice didn't show up.
Oh, man.
It was The mayor was supposed to go on Bobby Brown from 11 to midnight, and then the mayor, you know, count down to midnight, and then at 12:10 it was supposed to be Vanilla Ice, except at 11:30 no Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice decided not to come. So
he's too big, Mikey. Too big.
So luckily Bobby Brown has agreed to play another hour. Cool. So he came out, and speaking of the Whitney Houston connection, played another hour, but we had to go. We went to the cage here and paid him right out of the cage because obviously he required more compensation to play an additional hour.
So speaking of downtown, go ahead.
Mike, do you at Circa, is it at all in your plans at all to like add more musical acts and stuff, or is that just not something you guys are into?
At Stadium Swim, Gil. Stadium Swim can be turned into a concert venue. We can cover those two pools closest to the screen and put a stage there and have concerts. So I think that's something that'll be in the near future.
That would be awesome. Hard Rock used to do that at the pool. It would be nothing to look out your window and see Snoop performing or something like that. What were you saying, Brian?
No, just to shout out Circa because I went out last week on Wednesday and never tried Legacy Club before.
Oh, it's
and
so good.
And I went with my two friends. We ate at 8 East as well. This is like a whole giant plug for Circa. So we went to 8 East because they had never been downtown. And I have to say, Circa was really brought back downtown in a big way. Like when I was a concierge, we would say downtown and say, no, we're never going down there. And now it's like, because I work here too, but it makes it a place to you want to come see. It's new. It's what I like. It's loud, but I like it loud because, you know, you want the music, you want the energy. But 80s brisket fried rice, like you said earlier, is fantastic. But we went to, so we ate there, then we went up to the Legacy Club because I'd never been. And it's cool because you can create your own old fashioned, which is a thing. And then they have a huge cocktail menu. And then a great outside, which has like a fire pit and a beautiful view of the strip as well. And it's just such a cool vibe up there. Like it feels, you know, bougie, if you will.
To add on to what you said about the menu, they have a humongous whiskey menu.
Yeah, it's very,
and what
it's
they do that not a lot of bars do, and I don't know that a lot of people know this, you could get half-size drinks. So you could like sample little ones on a discount if you're someone new to exploring whiskeys like I am. It gives you a chance to try some Japanese whiskey that you would never pay, you know, $40 for, but you might pay $20 for. Yeah. And to me, that is beyond great. And the vibe there, like you said, it's so classy. And it really is head and shoulders above whatever you're experiencing in downtown Vegas.
They did an event up there a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday called Whiskey and Women.
Yep.
And so it was designed for women to come and present this whiskey menu. So I think they're going to continue that with a series with different spirits on Wednesdays as a kind of a recurring thing.
Yeah. And we also forgot Billy Joel at Allegiant Stadium on the 26th, Mark.
Yeah, it's back-to-back. There's, Billy Joel and Metallica are playing the back-to-back on the same weekend. So it's Billy Joel Saturday or Friday, I believe, and Billy Joel or Metallica Sunday, one or the other. But that they made a big deal out of that being a special weekend.
Huge.
Me and Mike were doing a residency at the South Point Sportsbook with Al the Schnorrer as the special guest. We did that for 2 years, and then it ran its course. But it was an excellent residency. Mike, you enjoyed that, right?
I miss Al. I actually do. A little bit. Just a little. Not every day, but a little bit.
What we're joking about is me and Mike used to sit in the sportsbook at South Point, and this guy used to come over and ask for drink tickets every single time we were there. So we started calling him Al the Schnorrer, and then he would tell you stories from what happened in 1970. It was a whole thing. It was hysterical.
Isn't that how you two met, by the way, sitting at the South Point sportsbook?
We met on the night of a playoff game. We were in the South Point sportsbook, and the Maple Leafs were playing the Bruins. And Mikey, unbeknownst to both of us, had the under 5.5 in this game. The score was 4-1, and because it was the playoffs, they had the goaltenders still pulled. And they flicked the puck out, and we both thought we were going to win. And then all of a sudden, in the last second, literally, when I say the last second, I mean 0.1 on the clock, they may have scored, they may not have scored. And then for about 10 minutes, I was walking around the book screaming like, is it 4-1? Is it 5-1? Is it 4-1? Because ESPN had 5-1. The other one had 4-1. No one knew what the score was. Now, here's the craziest thing. The teams shook hands at the end of the of the playoff series because that was the end of the series. And they still didn't tell us what the score was. If it would have been a goal, there would have had to have been a face-off. But there never was a face-off.
Right.
And then they turned out and they said they gave him the goal 5-1. Me and Mikey both lost on it. And we commiserated as that was how we met each other.
Todd,
that
was for life.
That was the night of the two game sevens. That was game seven in that series and game seven Sharks Knights with the famous 5-minute major win that shouldn't have been, and they blew the 3-0 lead.
Is that the same that night?
Yeah, they were same both night. Game sevens on that night. That's when I met Todd. He was asking everybody in the book if it was a goal or not. I said, who is this lunatic? People aren't even watching this game. He was going seat to seat. Was it a goal? Do you know if it's a goal?
No, because half the people were like, oh, on ESPN it says 4-1. On this one it says 5-1.
Walking around with the sound box on his shoulder. I said, who is this lunatic?
What's amazing is I don't remember much hockey at all, but I remember that night vividly. I remember watching that goal or non-goal right here in the apartment and then going up to Aria and watching that Golden Knights phenomenal bullshit that killed their season. That was the worst.
That was unbelievable. It was, and you know, that was also, I think, right around the same time as the UMBC beat Virginia as a number one seed in March. It was also right around the same time.
Right around the same time.
It was insane.
Yeah. All right, did we miss anything food-wise or concert-wise or anything? I'm sure we did.
I'd like to say, Gil, there's a place that's just a local place that I ate a couple times this year that I haven't. It's called Ventano Italian Grill and Seafood. It's in Henderson on Arroyo Grande Boulevard, but very, very good. And if you sit outside, you have a wonderful view of the Strip. It's a great view of the city. If you go there around sundown for the sunset, it's terrific. And I've been eating a little bit now at Mastroianni's on Hualapai. Great, great. Another, these Italian places with the fresh fish are just hard to beat. And and so that's another recommendation.
Me and Todd and me and Felica and whoever is in town for breakfast, we often go to Rise and Shine, where everybody's dressed in pajamas. Never the people you want to see dressed in pajamas, but nonetheless, people dressed in pajamas serving food. That's a monster burrito. Though I would say the best breakfast burrito I've had in town is still at Nacho Daddy, of all places. Nacho Daddy, which is right here off the Strip, which also has the best filet mignon fajitas as well. Yes.
Oh, and they're opening a Nacho Daddy in Henderson on St. Rose, right next to so Texas good. Roadhouse.
It's so ridiculously good, Nacho Daddy. I cannot tout it enough.
With all this food talk, do you guys know any good diabetic doctors in Vegas for after all these meals? Because it sounds like diabetes ready to come. Yes, angioplasties and diabetes. Because, wow.
Hey, Todd, I don't know what you're talking about. I definitely didn't make a reservation for Scarpetta next week while we were sitting here.
Yeah.
Only healthy food on this side.
Yeah, I like the tagliatelle. I recommend. That's my favorite dish there.
Here's the.
Mark,
here's
get to go to these places for free because of your job? Is that how it works?
No, I cover gambling. They, you know what they feed gamblers? Maybe an occasional little food court snack. That's about it.
Speaking of Felica, Gil, he sent me a text because he came down to Circuit to make a few cross-board parlays about how good the matzo ball soup is at Saginaw's. So.
Oh,
wow. Okay. There you go. Saginaw's Deli also at Circa as well.
That's good Weiss's to know because
deli.
That's good
Weiss's
to know.
Deli. Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say that's good to know because the only other casino that I've had good matzo ball soup in is at the El Cortez. Mm. So, ironically,
South
downtown
Point
as well.
Has good. Mark, the South Point has good matzo ball soup at the deli by the sports book. That's good matzo ball soup.
Will they bring it to me while I'm sitting in the ballroom watching a Kentucky Derby?
I don't know about that. Okay. It sounds
See,
like
I thought the matzo ball soup at the deli at the South Point was tasteless.
Really? I like that matzo ball soup.
Best matzo ball soup in town is at Weiss's Deli in Henderson. That's the spot for that. Though, shout out to Saginaw's for that as well. Okay, so when we used to do this podcast, we used to talk about nightclubs and day clubs and strip clubs and that kind of thing. But we're all old now. So, like, I don't go to day clubs or nightclubs anymore. And Ace isn't here. Ace was invited on the show to talk about strip clubs, but you know, we're all old people now. So I don't know if there's much to add. Brian, maybe you have something to add about the current state of nightclubs, day clubs. Like, what's the hottest ones in town?
I believe it's called Zook. I believe is at Resorts World. I haven't been to that one yet. It's kind of a paint by number. From what I've seen from my friends' Instagram pages, it's kind of just a standard like mega club. It's basically the same thing. They stole a lot of the talent from like Omnia, which is Hakkasan Group, like Zed, Tiesto, I believe, is at Zouk. That's always kind of what happens, is they end up going to the hottest club. I mean, Marshmallow, the guy with the marshmallow head, he went to the Palms when that started, and then Palms, their nightclub closed, and he went all the way back to XS. So I would still say it's the run-of-the-mill. XS, Hakkasan, and Omnia are like the big three. Zouk you can throw in there because it's the newest. The newest always goes. But I feel like the nightclub scene isn't what it used to be 10 years ago, where it was that's where it's at. I feel like a lot of it is going to speakeasies, is like the coolest new thing now, so that's a lot of people are doing speakeasies. And really, like, this supper club idea is also big because shows are so expensive on the strip now. Like, when I was a concierge, if you wanted a decent show, you're looking at $100 a ticket at least. And that's with any discounts for a Cirque show. I mean, $150 for, you know, almost $175 for, like, But I would say supper clubs are definitely going to be on the rise because you get the atmosphere of a show and then food at the same time. So kind of reverting back to, like, the 1950s, 1960s Vegas, which I think, like, my generation, which is the millennials, who are the ones who are starting to spend the money here, the ones who we're the ones coming in, not Gen Z, those are the TikTokers, but we are the ones who, like, are in our 30s, which happens to be, you know, the demo for Vegas, usually 45 to 50. It's kind of getting younger, but I feel they're the ones who dictate.
Let me just step in, because I've made this point, I think, on the Vegas Lifestyle Pod the last couple years, which is, and I just thought part of it was a function of getting older. But speaking on behalf of Gen Xers, Brian, the thing is that Vegas used to be all about the nightclubs and the day clubs, right? Like 5 to 10 years ago, that's really how the town sold itself. And there has definitely been a transformation from that being the primary selling. But those things still exist, as Brian said. All those things still exist, and they're all there. But it's not how the town has evolved. The town has evolved into a convention-heavy, sports-heavy, much more upscale kind of thing. The Cosmo is a great example, just to use that property as one. The Cosmo used to be, you know, the proverbial smoke show 5 to 10 years ago, right? You knew what you were getting at the Cosmo. You knew that the demographic was younger, and that you would get the most attractive people in Vegas at the Cosmopolitan. Over the course of the last 5 or 10 years, that's not really the case anymore. And it's by design. The price point, Mark, you and I have talked about this a little bit also. The price point of the restaurants has risen. And with that, you don't have, you know, younger kids don't have the disposable income of an older demographic. And so that's really been the evolution of Vegas, and it's kind of what you're talking about. Mark, I don't know if you agree with that.
I totally agree, and I think you're right. The demographic, according to the Las Vegas Convention Visitor Association, is coming down. It's come down prior to COVID. It came down 3 years in a row, the age of people visiting. I think you're right on point. It's when Gen X was where millennials are now, I was the hot commodity of what the kind of person they wanted. Now they want people that are millennials, that are young and growing and making more and more money so that they can get a taste. Like, I started at the Gold Coast. That's where I cut my teeth. I moved up to the Strip. Then I moved to Cosmopolitan, Wynn. Now I'm like you. I'm an old man. I'm bougie, and I want nice hotel rooms. I want nicer dinners. But I also, at the same time, I don't want to spend $250 to see the Foo Fighters play for way too long. And you know, that while I had a great time, I could probably enjoy that $250. I'd rather probably spend it on an hour and a half of dinner and a little bit of entertainment here and there with my friends. Like, it's sort of the same thing, but different, and different experiences. And what makes Vegas so great in my mind is you could do all of it. You could have a day club, you could have a nightclub, you could have a dinner show, you could go to a concert, a full-blown concert, if that's what you want. You can go see a stadium arena rock show. You know, it really does have everything. And now with sports, it's even better. And it looks like there's going to be a soccer team coming eventually. So it's pretty good. It's really, I think, at a good spot. Even though, you know, it's changing, it's not what it was. It's never been what it was. And that's part of what's always made Vegas so great, is that you could visit every 3 years and see something entirely different. You come here, in 4 years from now, the Mirage is going to be the Hard Rock, and there won't be a volcano. Like, that's in my mind, that's crazy talk. Like, I grew up with the Mirage Volcano. That was my Vegas vacation, was my jam. That's how I learned about Las Vegas. So to see it transforming, I love it. It's something new and different. And, you know, why would you want to go see the same exact thing every time?
Mikey, anything to add before you roll?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
He's good. All right. Brian, did we miss anything?
No, I think you got it. Vegas is cool. Just got to find your niche and then you stick to it. I'm getting old too, so I mean, I get bougie and I don't want to go to clubs anymore. I only go to clubs if there's a table. If there's no table, I'm not standing. So yeah. That's the last thing about bougie side.
Last thing about sports books, just because it occurs to me that we didn't mention this. What certain books will take is no longer what they used to take. So a shout out to BetMGM and William Hill, which especially in the William Hill case, might have previously been known as sort of their own type of model where they didn't take bets. They now pretty much take some bets over there, which is a new development over the last year or two here in Vegas. So if you're thinking that you can't get down pretty big bets at those spots, think again. They will take bets now, which is a pretty good development. That's not the case at places like Resorts World. Obviously, it's certainly the case at a place like Circa, which is sort of the trendsetter for that kind of thing. But just that shout out to those books, which, you know, I've made a living kind of knocking William Hill on a numbers game for years. It's a difference under new management. And so, you know, Caesars now. So it's a different thing. But I just wanted to add that note as well. Dodd, you don't miss it, though, do you?
Well, you know, you can't get team totals in-game in Vegas, so no, I don't miss it.
You can't. There are limitations.
By the way, my sports book on Braddock Avenue, I was on the bridge at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then it fell down at 7 o'clock in the morning in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you guys saw that news.
Yeah, we
but
did.
That exact bridge is what I go over every single day, and was on that bridge at 1 o'clock in the morning. It fell 5 hours later. So my friend Sean, of course, was like, "You broke a bridge now?" I was like,
"You broke a bridge." All right, we've done all we can do. I believe we've done it. For Brian Ortega. Brian, thank you so much for those stories, man.
Yeah, then happy
I'll
to do bend it.
Your ear about some others. Mike Palm at the D. Mikey, we appreciate it. Next week is the last Megapod of the year for the Super Bowl. We'll talk about Super Bowl props. Rufus Peabody will join us. He made his hay betting Super Bowl props back in the day with his group. He'll join us to give us his favorite prop bets. Todd from his mom's Cork Attic, and Mark Meltzer, annual staple of the Vegas Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Meltzer likes seltzer. Bill Alexander, Vegas Lifestyle, 11th annual edition. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy, and safe travels on your next trip to Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.